today we are looking at Psalm 85, a song of the sons of Korah, and I have a special guest with us today. His name is Jackson, and he is going to do us the honor of reading to us Psalm 85. Jackson is a catechumen here at church. He's in confirmation class. This is your first year.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your favorite thing about confirmation class, Jackson?
Learning about Jesus.
That's a pretty good answer. What's the thing you love to do most in class?
Acolyte.
You love acolyte training.
Yeah.
Lighting the candles. Is that your favorite thing?
Yep.
Okay. Enough talk. You're ready to read, huh?
Yep.
Psalm 85, Jackson. Take it away.
Lord, you were faithful to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land shall yield in its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away.
Okay, Psalm 85, a psalm of the sons of Korah. You know, the psalms are, many of them, I think around 72, I think. Don't take my word, it might be 73. Almost half of the psalms are written by David. And then we have here almost 10 psalms written by the sons of Korah. Psalm 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and then 84, 85, and 88. These psalms are written, we're told, by the sons of Korah. That's K-O-R-A-H. And I cannot wait to dive into this psalm with you today. I promise you that after listening to this brief podcast, if I get my words out, it'll be briefer, you're going to learn something that you've never known before. I promise you. And you're going to have such a deeper appreciation for these words. You can take it to the bank. But enough talk. Let's dive right into the text. Psalm 85, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Korah is first introduced. It's important to know who this man is. He's first introduced to us in the book of Exodus, back in chapter 6. Hear these words. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The years of the life of Levi being 137 years. So Levi lives to be 137 years old. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei by their clans. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The years of the life of Kohath being 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi. Those are great names. These are the clans of the Levites according to their generations. Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister. She bore him Aaron and Moses, the years of the life of Amram being 137 years old. The sons of Izhar, Korah, there's the name that we're looking for, Korah, and I'm going to put this all together for you, so if you're not following all these Hebrew names, just bear with me here. And Zikri. Okay, so here it is. I'm horrible with family lines, but this is what it all boils down to. Levi, right, the tribe of Levi. Levi has a son named Kohath. Levi has Kohath. Kohath has four sons. Two of them are important for our matters today: Amram and Izhar. Now, Aaron comes from Amram, but Korah comes from Izhar. So, okay, so this whole family, all these names are related. Here's the point: they all come from the tribe of Levi. They're all together. They all know each other. They're all part of the same clan. And what do they do? What's their duty? We find the answer in Numbers chapter 3, verses 27 and following, where it tells us that the Kohathites, I'm going to get my words together today, that there was 8,600 of these men from a month old upward, and their duty was to keep guard over the sanctuary. And this is what their duty was, verse 31. Their guard duty involved, what did they keep guard over? It's not the people. They're not guarding the people. They guard the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary with which the priest, minister, and the screen were told. So this is the duty of the Kohathites, the duty of Korah and his sons. They guard the sanctuary. They guard the holy items of God. They're acolytes. They're acolytes, Jackson. They have such an important role, the duty of an acolyte, to guard the sanctuary, serve God in his temple. Here, all the way back in the Old Testament. Their guard duty involved the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary, and the screen. Today, it's the candles, it's the altar, it's the book, the word, it's the crucifix. The acolytes, they're the ones guarding the holy things of God. And it's only a matter of time, as we're about to see, when lowly servants who are just acolytes in the church, guarding the holy things of God, turn on their leaders. So then the great showdown, what all of this is boiling down to, this great showdown happens in Numbers chapter 16, where we see Korah takes 250 men with him, and he confronts the leader, Moses, in a showdown for the ages that is about to leave the whole congregation of Israel stunned. And trust me, you're never going to see this coming. The text. Number 16, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, son of Levi, and the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, they all took men. Who's the first one listed? Korah. And they rose up before Moses with a number of the people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation chosen from the assembly, well-known men. And they assembled themselves all against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, here's their words, "You've gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" Now, a little bit of background here. Why are they saying that? Well, if you back up just a few verses before number 16, there we get the story about a man who breaks the Sabbath. He breaks the third commandment of God, and Moses puts him to death. Moses is so zealous for the Lord's commands that those who violently and rebelliously and unrepentant, not going to do anything about it, I'm good on my own, Moses, those who break God's commands, Moses has them stoned to death. The people don't like this too much. They see it as Moses going too far. And he's exalting himself over the assembly of the Lord. So verse 4, when Moses hears this, he falls on his face. And he says to Korah, "In the morning, the Lord will show who is his and who's the one being holy and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this," Moses says, "take censers, Korah and all his company, put fire in them, put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses will be the Holy One. You've gone too far, sons of Levi," Moses says to Korah. Hear now, you sons of Levi, Moses is still speaking. Is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he's brought you near, and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you too? And you would seek the priesthood also? Therefore, it's against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What's Aaron that you grumble against him? See, Moses is telling them, your grumbling's not against me. It's against the Lord. It's not against Aaron. It's against the Lord. Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, so Moses calls for the other faithful men. And they say this, verse 12, we will not come up. Is it a small thing, they say, that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you must also make yourself a prince over us? Moreover, you have brought us into a land flowing, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. So they won't take Moses' call either. Moses, we're told, was very angry. And he says to the Lord, don't respect their offering. I've not taken one donkey from them. I've not harmed one of them. And so Moses says this to Korah, verse 16. Be present, you and all your company before the Lord, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. Let every one of you take a censer and put incense on it, and every one of you bring before the Lord his censer, 250 censers. You also and Aaron, each his censer. So every man took a censer and put fire in them and laid incense on them and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Then Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, and he said these words, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. They fell on their faces. They said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with the whole congregation? And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, and he said, depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins. So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, together with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord. So Moses is saying, look, if you all die from natural causes, you'll know that I am wrong. But if something new happens, say the ground under your very feet swallow you up alive and bring you down to Sheol, well, then you will know who the Lord has chosen to draw near to him. And we're told in verse 31 what happened immediately after Moses says these words. As soon as he had finished speaking, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly, and all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up too. And then fire came out from the Lord and consumed all the 250 men who were offering the incense. We see God's judgment here. He swallows up Korah by opening up the ground, the land under his feet. So how do we, hundreds of years later, have these songs of the sons of Korah in the book of Psalms if they were all wiped out and swallowed up by the ground? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 26 this surprising detail about that day when Korah contended against the Lord and the earth opened its mouth. Numbers 26 says, when Korah and all the company died and the fire devoured 250 men and they became a warning, verse 11, but the sons of Korah did not die. The sons of Korah did not die. Apparently, Korah's sons saw right through their father's pride and sin. They don't follow their father's rebellion against Moses, against their rightful leader. And in an ironic twist, they even wear his name as a badge of honor. Were the sons of Korah. They wanted people to know that they were the ones who did not perish with their father. As they sing in Psalm 45, verse 10, "Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty." They had left their father, their earthly father, and followed their heavenly father. They stuck to God's true word. Oh, the sons of Korah had seen the earth give way. They're the ones behind Psalm 46, a familiar psalm to us Lutherans. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, and though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. They had seen the very judgment of the Lord. They had seen the earth give way and swallow the very land under their own father's feet. And yet, in that moment, they saw God spare them, the faithful ones. And thus, the sons of Korah no longer needed to fear anything. Be still and know that I am God. Hear again these words from Psalm 85 that Jackson read so well. Listen to the ways that they're praising God. They say, his salvation is near to those who fear him. Jackson did better than I did. That glory may dwell in our land. Faithfulness springs up from the ground. They had surely seen it. The Lord's faithfulness when he swallowed up the sin of their own dear father and all those 250 men. The sons of Korah truly feared the Lord with a humble spirit. They say, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. This is the prayer of the sons of Korah, who saw the Lord humble the exalted ones, the ones who grumbled and complained and put their leaders to the test. They saw the Lord's faithfulness spring up from the ground and his righteousness going before them, making their footsteps away, planting their feet on solid ground that would never give way. And of course we know, as Christians, that this solid way is God's own Son, our Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who was swallowed up by the ground himself and buried in a tomb for 3 days. The one who reveals the righteousness and the faithfulness of Yahweh, who is Yahweh in the flesh, who has come to redeem you and all life that has been swallowed up and gone down to the pit. Oh Lord, you are so favorable to us, the sons of Korah cry. You've restored our fortunes because you forgave the iniquity of my sin. He's covered it with the precious blood of the Lamb. I look forward to singing Psalm 85 with you this Sunday. Come and gather in the Lord's house and sing this beautiful song along with the sons of Korah. And this week, I'd like to encourage you to be praying for the missionaries serving in Asia, Josh and Coco Lang. Josh and Coco serve in Asia, and their home district is actually Missouri. Pray that they're given wisdom with every step they take as they complete the work given to them. Pray for their continued good spiritual and physical health. Pray for their growth and their protection. Pray that they're both given opportunities to share the love of God and minister to the people around them in word and deed. Pray these individuals' lives are changed as the love of God is shared with them. And let's give thanks to the Lord for sending workers out into the harvest field, including Josh and Coco, especially as they serve in Asia. Also, an encouragement, lastly, to young families with children gathering around the table this week. Their little eyes, their little ears are looking to you, Father and Mother, to show them the way. Plant their feet on solid ground. Point them to Jesus. Point them to God's law. We're focusing still on the seventh commandment in church. And then point them to their Savior, who satisfied the law perfectly for them, and remind them of their baptism and the gifts and the promises that God has given to them in that baptism, that they are His child. And through your faithful parenting, your children will be blessed to know the fear of the Lord, to know Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life.